It's a giant guitar! It's here! It's here! We're under attack! We saw Voyage of the Rock Aliens. Let's dance tonight, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater. Did you know you wonder how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? I am Tall John Shear, and boy, oh boy, sometimes I think I'm jaded that I've seen every type of bad film, and then I get surprised, and this is one of those movies, Voyage of the Rock Aliens, : Let's Dance Tonight. We have a lot to say about this movie. I can't wait.
I didn't know there was a subtitle.
I didn't either. I'm just learning that
now. I'm just learning that tonight.
And it's only because you've said it twice that I realize it's a part of the title.
Oh, it is a part of the title. And those are my two co-hosts. Please welcome Jason Mantzoukas and June Diane Raphael. Wow.
I mean, let me be clear. We have been doing this podcast now for, is it 12 years? Coming up on 12 years or is it coming up
over
on 11
decade,
years?
Over a decade. We've
maybe
done
it's
it
coming
over
up on 11 years.
Sure.
Anyway, I have never heard of this movie.
Nope.
No.
This wasn't on my radar. This is from the era in which I was renting movies. I was not aware of this movie. And I'm here to say to both of you, this is one of the best movies we've ever done.
Amen.
Whoa, that's a big statement, Jason.
This is I was laughing so I loved this movie.
Yeah.
Full stop.
I rewound this movie multiple times, and June caught me this morning playing the soundtrack on Spotify.
Yeah.
I am in. Oh, it's great.
The songs are great. The movie is there's something actually quite freeing about there not being a plot, really.
Mm-hmm.
As hard as you look sometimes, you can't really get a grip on
either a story. A story, or there isn't, because the movie is mostly songs and music video style stuff.
Yeah, ish. And ish. I mean, it's ish.
Well, okay, so you're right. Because as soon as I was like, oh, okay, it's a story about aliens like searching for rock and roll and this music. Yep. Then it's like, no. This is a story about two escaped psychopaths who are murdering.
Oh, so good.
People in this town, like there were so many, but Jason, I am with you.
Everything was working.
I really enjoyed it. And actually, I think there were, and I know we'll get into it, there were certain things in this movie that were absolutely elevated, transcendent, interesting, and like unexpected.
Yeah. Okay, when the movie starts with the Jermaine Jackson, Pia Zadora planet, not Earth, it's a different planet's song.
Yeah.
That, I was like, I would happily live in that
world.
Movie.
Yeah.
If they'd gone to that world, I would have been into it.
The Mad Max like world,
yes.
Like Mad Max and New Wave existing in a world together. Now, here's what I'll say, just because it's probably going to be very hard for you to understand what we're talking about. It is a movie in which multiple times I rewound because I was like, oh, I must have missed some connective tissue to get to this next scene.
No, I didn't.
It just really jumps. And I guess if we want to just lay down the foundation, it is about a group of aliens who are looking for rock music that travel in a spaceship in the shape of a guitar, and they're trying to find rock music. They are dressed
and look like New Wave, like Devo style.
Like a Devo ripoff band.
Yeah, they
are.
That's what they...
Just to stop there for a second.
Mm-hmm.
At that premise, at that movie that you're describing, like, I never understood why they wanted to find rock music.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't.
Yeah.
Like what? Because they are actually end up being a band themselves. So it's not like, oh, we don't know how to do this or we
it's
want.
It's not like we are discovering music.
No,
please.
It's not like, oh, my God,
they're
aliens. And then we once heard this thing over the traffic waves. And you know, through light years, we heard this sound and we can't get enough of it. Actually, like, no, they do it and better.
Well, here's the other thing about them. They are searching the universe for music. And that's how we get this amazing opening with Piazzadora and Jermaine Jackson.
Oh,
now, I will
God.
Say, just so you understand that as we talk about this later on, that Piazzadora is not the same Piazzadora
that's
in
on
the
Earth.
Rest of the film. Yes.
Right.
So Piazzadora plays
sure
two.
I wasn't either. I was like, I was confused and I kept expecting, frankly, Jermaine Jackson to show up in.
Me
on
too.
The Earth.
She did not.
She
also
did not.
Because their duet was incredible.
I want to play the music right now.
I want
to
play
Colin
right
and I danced
so
to
bad.
It this morning. Like
let's,
I came into his office and I heard him playing it and we straight up like danced to the music.
Let's hear a little bit of When the Rain Begins to Fall.
That's my favorite song.
Here's what I'll say about that song. It's a banger. It's
yes!
great. But the way that they sing it is fantastic. But the on-screen chemistry between Jermaine and Piazzadora is not there. Like, it is, they don't look, like, it's supposed to, I think, have an evocative nature of, like, almost like the end of Grease with, like, Sandy
yes.
and have
well,
that, like,
see,
kind
I
of back.
I think that's what they're doing in the Earth version is very much a riff on Grease. You know,
yeah.
with the diner and Frankie is kind of Danny Zuko. And, you know, like there's a whole kind of like the Earth stuff is Grease. But this duet between her and Jermaine Jackson was it starts the movie and it starts the movie strong.
Yes.
Even actually, I would say the song that opened, like when the movie opens over credits, it's just already immediately great.
Oh, it is. It's like a straight up. It's as if you made like a kid saw Alien and was like, oh, I want to shoot this in my garage. Like,
yeah.
It's this weird, very clunky, like
yeah.
Forbidden Planet kind of robot. This
so
just
for
slowly
me,
go.
For me, where I realized like this is going to be a really wonderful motion picture was when that alien robot that Paul's describing took out to call up the crew who'd been asleep for like thousands of years.
Oh.
Took out a bunch of
I forgot
action
this.
Figures who were each in tubes.
Opens up a refrigerator. A refrigerator,
got them
looks
out
like
of the
it
refrigerator.
Has, that looks like it has leftovers in it. Like it is
yes.
a dirty
it looks
old
like
refrigerator.
A regular full refrigerator, but the entire crew is inside of it. So who's using the refrigerator?
Well, I guess maybe when they're rehydrated.
The robot?
I mean, the robot maybe put them in the fridge so they didn't spoil. But I'll tell you this much. This crew is bizarre because at one point they print out a paper version of one of the members who blew up and they pump them up. I don't even know. Are they
yes.
just like balloons?
Okay, I can
are
talk
they balloons?
About when the guy, first of all, we should check the Best Buy date on these guys because I think they might have spoiled a little bit in the fridge because they are weird times a million.
Yes, yes. The plot is tricky to describe. And I would say the only true description of the plot happens by that robot that we're just talking about. Take a listen.
Remember, observing physical properties and locating an intelligent life form are what we all came for. Am I making myself clear?
It is mandatory that this exploratory mission of interplanetary observation be accomplished without interfering or obtrusively interfacing with the inhabitants of this planet.
What'd he say?
And one of the guys, like the lead guy, who I think is meant to be like the hunk of the new wave alien.
ABCD?
Well, then they shouldn't have given him that haircut.
I agree. 100%.
They shouldn't have given him that haircut.
They
I
should
was
have
like,
given
I
him...
want him to be a hunk. I love that. But
they
that
should
was...
have given him instead
And honestly, that's
the...
my only note.
Yep, they
that's
should have
it.
Him the, like the hunky Karate Kid bad guy hairdo.
Yeah. Well, he is ABCD. That's his name, Tom Nolan. Which
oh, don't like you I, mean Obsid?
Oh, yeah. Is it Absid? Okay, because I thought ABCD, Absid, I thought yes. That was his name. Okay, Absid. Okay, so oh, that's how they pronounce
it. Well, that's what Pia Zadora says.
Oh my God.
Paul, get it together, my guy.
She reads. So Pia Zadora, when she meets them on planet Earth, they have on their little suits, like ABCD, EFG, HI. Like, they all have letters. And so it's actually not her. It's the other woman who's the mechanic.
Oh, who's the mechanic?
I could talk about her for about
five hours. The journey that she goes on from like hanging out with Pia Zadora to the majority of the second half of the movie, just helping the murderer fix his chainsaw in a static shot with tools she brought to the cotillion or whatever.
That was amazing. It was amazing.
It was incredible.
Choice. Because I was actually watching that sequence, and I'm sorry that we're jumping all around, but
it doesn't matter.
It really doesn't fucking matter.
It doesn't matter.
When the movie turned into a horror film, but actually shot pretty well. Like, when she was running away from him and he was behind her in the shadows with a chainsaw, I was like, oh, fuck. And then to have it turn around and have her, like, reassemble his chainsaw. It was such a,
and she's kind of giving him shit. Like,
wonderful choice.
Oh, well, she's been like, having a hard time. When's the last time you cleaned this? Like, what? And he's like, never. Like, she's shaming him.
The status, he's pulling out the wrong.
The
tools.
Status immediately shifts in the scene to where she's high status and he's low status.
But also another layer of what's happening, Jason, is that she is fixing his weapon, which she knows we all know is probably going to kill her. So it's the craziest. I've never seen anything like it. I loved
it. The final scene arcs with him putting down his chainsaw and they go off into the sunset. Now, just so you know, this man that we were talking about, if you've ever seen like the cover box for The Hills Have Eyes, he is the bad guy from The Hills Have Eyes, like a notoriously interesting looking man,
like scary
bald
actor,
man, interesting eyes. Yeah. Like, yeah. And so when we first meet him and the other psychopath he's wearing a straitjacket the entire movie because they've escaped from a mental institution. Like, they don't speak until this one moment where this girl, who's kind of a tough girl, who can't really find a good guy and seems to be like, ugh, just irritated by everyone and everything. Like, she softens with this complete, psychopath
they break out of a hospital for the criminally insane and they go to a gun store and buy all of, like, multiple carriages full of guns. It's also just fucking funny. There's jokes that are working all the time. I was shocked.
I want to talk about my favorite.
And I hate, you know how I feel about singing in movies, but this movie is better than Annette. is better than Annette.
I would put them on the same level as being as experimental. Like, this movie is like, as experimental
Annette
as
wishes
Annette.
It was as
Annette
wishes that it was as organic as this movie, that it felt as organic.
I not because I don't want to reveal too much, but I'll say that this movie was written as a send up of B movies. And someone read it and they said, you know what? This doesn't work. We need to make it a musical. And then they just shot in the musical numbers. So this was a conceived script without any music. Then they're like, we're going to make it a musical. And then when it had bad test screenings, they're like, shit, we need to put more music in this. So they put that Pia Zadora, Jermaine Jackson song at the top because it was supposed to just be the end sequence. So this movie is...
Initially it was a movie, a non-musical movie. Then they added music and then they kept only the music and got rid of the plot because there is zero plot in this movie, really, genuinely. Like,
I mean,
except that there's aliens, there's kind of a battle of the bands. I just want to give like shouts to Ruth Gordon as the sheriff.
Okay.
Who is doing incredible work.
No. She is.
Ruth Gordon.
Ruth Gordon from Harold and Maude.
She deserves it all.
She's the greatest.
Okay, the scene which is such an unnecessary scene where she's in her sheriff's office and there's a dead body. And she says, she picks up the guy's wallet and she's like, this is the hardest part. The way she delivers this whole sequence is the hardest part of the work that I do. And then calls that widow. I was laughing hysterically.
She calls and she says, is this the widow of
John What's-His-Face?
John What's-His-Name? And the person you can tell says like, I'm not a widow. I'm not a widow. And she says, well, you are now. He's dead.
Click.
By the way, I understand it shouldn't be that. She clearly doesn't do it. She doesn't know enough to even lead with the right question. But she, how did she fall out of her perch in the beginning? Because she catches the alien ship on a telescope, a very high-powered telescope, because she's seeing people inside the phone booth.
Yeah, she's creeping out. She's, like, looking at people right through their windows and stuff.
I thought she was looking. Well, first I thought she was a man. So it took me a second to even recognize who she was. She was looking at a guy, like, undressing, right? Yeah.
So she's a peeping Tom Sheriff.
Yes. She has so many layers.
Holy shit. She is so... Everybody in this movie is just... I don't know what they're doing. They're just crushing. This movie has
Frankie,
no business
everybody
working.
It was great.
It has no business working, especially for just the fact that it's no story and wall-to-wall songs. And the songs... also don't tell a story.
The songs are
like, if you were to break down the lyrics of the song,
nonsense.
They are legit bad. They're bad lyrics that are gibberish. Yeah, they're like, here I have pulled up some lyrics here. I mean, Nature of the Beast, I really want to get into. It is here's some of the lyrics.
Women's bangs are a character in this movie. Like, June, I feel like you could talk about the hairstyles in this movie forever. This movie is so aggro 80s, both in the sense of like embracing all of the new wave kind of rockabilly stuff that was also popular at the time.
Well, is it new wave versus rockabilly? Because it's like
well, it was also versus like the greasers. Like there was also like the 50s nostalgia too, which was going on, you know?
I didn't know that was a thing. So that was a thing in the 80s, the 50s nostalgia?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, so that was new for me. I didn't understand that.
It was very hard to pinpoint anything in this film, because in the beginning of the film, when they are looking for music in the universe, they find it three different times. Like, one is like a ballroom dance, like, ew, boring. All right, great. And then they find that Mad Max world that Jermaine.
Well, there's one that's just like Muppets, right?
Isn't there one that's just
like Muppets or something?
Something bizarre. And then they find that Jermaine Jackson world. And there's no music there. I'm like, ooh, this is good. But it's basically like the precursor to a song. Like they're looking for music, and that's the only world that doesn't have music. And they're like, we like that music before
Wait,
it even
what?
Starts. They are on that TV screen looking for music in the
Aren't
world.
Aren't they
right?
watching that music, though, because they're trying to figure out if that's rock music and they decide no?
Well, but the first one, they're like, that's not rock music. The second one, that's not rock music. But then they watch...
Oh, they watch all of the duet.
Well, there's
between,
like about a 40 second not music. It's just like it's just Jermaine Jackson hanging out with
rival gangs
and motorcycles. Yes. Like, there's no music there.
Oh,
and they're like,
my God.
Let's keep this on. Like
the
they don't
guys
even like
in all
jump
white in all white dress and white motorcycles. I mean, like this, and then Pia Zadora running through like what looked like an Italian village. Just to get to Jermaine Jackson so that they can sing. I mean, like,
Jermaine
I'm not
Jackson,
kidding. That
whoever,
was incredible, that
whoever,
opening.
Whoever, I mean, clearly Jermaine Jackson was in Italy and, like, we need to shoot this part in Italy. The rest of the movie, like, I don't know where they shot it. But there is also, I want to talk to whoever scored the movie because someone definitely put up the volume level on Jermaine's snaps because his snaps are louder than any instrumentation or any song. It's just like... Like, so incredibly aggressively loud over the music. I was laughing.
It's also like two gangs are in a fight. It's almost, I don't know if it's supposed to be like a Romeo and Juliet riff.
It feels like Warriors.
They're from different, they fall in love, but they're from different gangs or whatever. But when they actually get to fight, all anybody knows how to do is front kicks. It's like the gentlest fight ever. It's so, there's like, everything feels like, Every fight feels like it's dance choreography instead of fight choreography.
Well, it feels like a music video and Gymkhana mixed.
Yes.
It's like, it's weird. And that's what this movie is like. I always say, people go like, what's your favorite movie that you've done on the show? I'm like, oh, it's tricky because I think The Room is like the ultimate one. But then I've been saying like, oh, I think Miami Connection.
I was going to say Miami Connection felt like the discovery of Miami Connection.
I agree 1000%. But it's like this. You can tell, like, there are moments of this movie that feel like a corporate retreat business video. Like, they're like, all right, we're all going on a retreat and we're going to learn how to share and we're also going to do a TikTok together. Like, that, like, level of, like, there's, like, some sort of, like, there's some...
when they're all singing at the beach and then Frankie comes up and they're like, it's Frankie! And then Frankie goes, I decide who sings with the band around here. I was like, oh, who's this guy? Frankie's some sort of, like,
Frankie, like,
music bully? Who like decide? He gets. I was like,
well, he's also kind of a gang member.
Awesome. Oh yeah.
I loved Frankie. I thought he was great.
He was.
I also like. We're forgetting that there's another story. There's the aliens looking for Rock. There's, you know, the escaped
convicts.
Yeah, psychopaths.
There's Ruth Gordon and her.
There's that.
Her deputy.
And then there's also like. The toxicity of the land and what's happening.
Oh my
with
gosh! Right.
Like a chemical octopus.
They're like on Lake Erie. They're on Lake Erie, it's like, do not hang out. And this is why I'm saying, like, I don't even understand what planet this is.
Lovecraftian tentacle monster that lives in the water.
They're doing Funicello back at the beach kind of energy, but on the beach, when you put a surfboard in the water, it disintegrates.
Yeah.
And you see a tentacle, and it's like, and this water. They are in a nuclear. There's something going on that they don't really address, although
Spielberg.
It comes into.
Was it Spielberg or Spielberg?
No, it's Spielberg.
It is Spielberg, isn't it?
Isn't
okay.
it?
Well, Spielberg
is
the
Spielberg.
Guy.
Well,
Spielberg.
What is it?
Spielberg is the town.
I thought Spielberg was the guy. Because
no, the town is called, I think, Spielberg. Or is it Spielberg?
Well, I thought it was Lake Erie. I think it may be Spielberg because. Oh man, this is interesting. Here, I have a clip. I have a clip where they.
Molly said it's Spielberg.
Yeah,
the town is Spielberg.
The town is Spielberg.
Like as in the director,
Steven Spielberg.
That's what I said. Not like the director.
No, like the director.
It's a homonym. It's spelled differently, but it sounds the same.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean that. And by the way, that was like. So here's the thing that I didn't understand about that. But again, I was fascinated. I couldn't take my eyes off of what was happening with that sort of like Beach Boys energy over this toxic wasteland. But that tentacle, the first time we see it is the first time we're in Spielberg.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So does no one else see it at that point?
No, the guy, he notices his surfboard disintegrate. Like, everybody seems to know,
Well, there's enough warnings on that sign. The beach sign basically is like, no loitering, no sitting, no having fun. It was like a lot, you know, the sign went on. Like, they clearly are, these kids are like,
but
we don't care.
Did anybody ever address, like, the horrors that are going on outside? Like,
no.
Like the monster in the lake? Or
well, Pia Zadora has a monologue, which I thought she delivered beautifully, to I liked her a lot, to the head alien hunk, quote unquote. But she says that at one
Absid?
Point they did, yes, Absid, what they did try
Scott
to,
yeah,
like, take care of the, you know, the toxic water and all the stuff that's was happening, but then a chemical plant opened or something. But it just seems like this is the way of life.
This movie is a better addresses climate change than Don't Look Up.
This movie really, I mean, the metaphor here is very clear. And I honestly, you know, I walk away and I go, the climate change is a problem. I mean, this is it. You know, it's affecting our kids. It's affecting our kids. And you know
it
what?
Is
when are we going to realize when this tentacle comes into our schools? Is that when we're going to finally open our eyes?
I want to talk about the tentacle. Because the tentacle is a big part of the end of the movie, where,
which is not a threat throughout any of the rest of the movie. It's like introducing, it's like introducing King Kong or Godzilla in the last 3 minutes.
Now, here's here's what the tentacle reminded me of, because so a lot of things are being resolved at the same time, like the, you know, the chainsaw murderer is now falling in love with the greaser girl, and Piazzetta is back with Frankie, and Frankie's going to include her in the band. Yeah, like, we're resolving so much. But then,
they put the panther back in the locker.
But then...
Oh, my God.
This crazy tentacle out.
Wait, hold on. We'll come back to God. Panther. Sorry.
Frankie, is that a panther or a cougar or whatever? When he puts a big cat, a jungle cat, into his school locker and closes the door, I was like, this movie has everything.
It really does. So yeah, then, but when, just when we think like things are going to be okay, turns out that Heidi High is being attacked by this really big octopus creature.
Not even octopus, June. Tentacle.
Just tentacle. Like,
it is Lovecraftian. You don't see a face.
You don't ever see a face. But, like, I'm watching this tentacle, and they couldn't even... It has no... how to describe it. It's like...
Into it.
Yes, it looks like one of my pregnancy pillows that I used to use that were just like that are soft. And if they hit you, they would never attach or wrap around you. There would be no way they could hold you down.
Everyone falls into the tentacle and then is not held by it, but it's almost as if there is a gravitational pull that, like, they, because the tentacle is not not even opening and closing like a small grip. It's just like it kind of comes like a cane at like Showtime at the Apollo, like, we're gonna pull you off the stage. It's like that kind of level.
And everybody, you can tell everybody's being directed, like,
to
pretend once it touches you, act as though you're stuck to it now.
You know? That's so crazy because it's also so slow.
Yes.
It's like there's no world in which you couldn't get out of this tentacle hold.
Holy shit.
No,
honestly, walk away.
And what does the tentacle do? Because there's no mouth and it doesn't seem to be constricting you. So, like, what's the end game of the tentacle? Just to, like, kind of hug you?
Yeah.
Touch you?
Yeah. It just wants to be part of the gang, I think.
And when they decide to kill it, or when it's defeated... It's defeated. Like, this thing is giant. It's over Heidi High. Yeah. It has multiple.
An entire school.
An entire school. And our guy from The Hills Has Eyes, who has now had his chainsaw fixed and found love, slices off a piece that seems to be three inches.
6 inches long. I was going to say, like, very small.
Very small.
Very small. It would be like cutting off, like, one knuckle of your pinky.
I
was going to say, like, after you've peeled a carrot or before, like, just cutting off the...
Perfect.
Yes. Just a little, especially in contrast to how big it is. Yeah. That is what defeats it. But when he does that, what happens is bubbles come out.
Yeah.
Like a fucking bubble, like a bubble maker
like
water
gun. A bubble
gun.
Blower just is, like, blowing bubbles out of it. And everybody's like, that's the thing is, insane things happen throughout this movie. Like in the malt shop when Absid, the head of the alien guys, sees Piazzadora for the first time, smoke comes out of his neck and his body literally explodes.
He explodes and
onto people. His arm is
like
on someone's head.
His head. And by the way,
in the malt shop is like, cool.
And by the way, that head, when they are traveling around with his head, which is not a replica of his face, it is a mannequin head. And by the way, I know that these are not like, we're not like attacking it. It's just brilliant. And I think maybe that's why he had to have that haircut, because it matched the wig on the mannequin. They're running around with this head around town, and they have to get back to their phone booth, which clearly Bill and Ted stole, and to go back to their ship to then put all of the pieces in like a compactor that like then prints out a fruit roll up of him or in different pieces, and then they put the fruit roll up in another machine that then prints out another like a color form of him, and then they just pump him up. I mean that's it, and then he's
back in action. You know, they're ready to go back down so they can do Battle of the Bands.
So these people
like,
blow up occasionally? I mean, is that like
everything was like every
are they robots?
What would happen is there would be like a song would happen every 3 minutes a new song would start, regardless of what had happened in between. Like, it didn't matter. A new song, like the song Justine, I don't know why that's there.
I don't know who that person was.
I don't know who Justine was. I don't think she was a character in the movie. But well, she's in that. She's there for that
here,
song.
Can I read some lyrics?
I forgot about
please.
Justine.
Justine, 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 Justine. You don't treat me right, Justine, Justine, Justine. You don't treat me right. You'd like to ball in the morning, stay out late at night. Going to the barbershop, gonna have him do me up. Gotta clean up for my little buttercup. Justine, Justine, Justine.
Yeah.
Mamas, papas, sisters, brothers, uncles, crazy child. Woohoo. Justine, Justine, Justine. Like, I mean, this is the lyrics of this movie. This is like, there's the majority of the song is just Justine.
It's incredible. And that's the level that the movie is at. Like, most of the songs are just repeated words or phrases over new wave, over terrific new wave music.
Yeah, that's life. That's life. That's life. That's life.
Oh my God.
Finding an illusion, preserve the confusion always. Craving control, searching for something to say, ignoring what matters for things that don't matter at all. That's life. That's life. That's life.
Holy shit. Now I found my little bit of heaven. Holy shit.
Oh, wait a second. The song in the bathroom where they're singing and it starts with underpants around ankles. Everyone's shitting and pissing.
A tracking shot over the feet at the bottom of all of the stalls in the girls' room at Heidi High. Panties around every set of ankles except for one. Somebody not wearing panties. Did anybody notice the graffiti in the bathroom?
No.
There were two spray painted graffiti on the wall. One said, "Mustangs rule, comma, okay, question mark." Mustangs rule, okay. And then the other one was, "It ain't my job."
That was spray painted
on the wall of the girls' room.
Oh, Mike. By the way, I also wanted to ask you what you thought. There's clearly a scene in this movie that they shot at a local county fair where they're like on like a circular ride, and then it also cuts to them playing like a video game, like an old school like Asteroids. And I was like,
oh yeah, yeah.
I'm like, I think it was revealed that they weren't at a fair. It wasn't like that wasn't part of like the thing. I think that was just like part of their ship. I think they were trying to get production value to be like, oh, this old Atari game is actually our ship controls. I mean, by the way, their ship controls are a recording studio. Like, they are straight up reel to reel and volume knobs. That's how they, I mean, it's awesome. It's Star Trek in a recording studio. Like, that's what their bridge is.
Oh my God.
It's so interesting because I know usually I have a hard time remembering all these movies, but I'm genuinely like, when you're describing that roller coaster scene or whatever that attraction was, I remember it now, but because the movie goes to places you could never expect, you could never anticipate, you could never come up with, it's really hard for me to, like, I'm experiencing it anew right now because, like, I completely forgot about Justine, but of course I did because it was so separate from the rest of the movie. It's like saw a million movies.
You're saying that has no narrative. It's just images.
Yeah, and you can't think to yourself, well, what happened after the scene where they revealed blah, 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 because
that's
it's just
work.
A fever dream of song segues. You gotta let go and let God. Yeah, this movie felt more like watching MTV in the 80s than it did watching a movie.
I mean, the fact that Jermaine Jackson and Pia Zadora... Well, first of all, the fact that Jermaine Jackson never comes back is odd. And he's billed as like the first person in the film. But the fact that Pia Zadora looks really no different in both worlds, and that she's not the same person. Like, it's bizarre. That is also bizarre. Like, wait, you don't even go, oh, she looks like the girl in the video. I mean, we talked about it with Gremlins ad nauseum. Like, why isn't anyone going, like, isn't that the same girl from the video? Or I guess they're just... I mean, there's only three girls in the entire movie. Like, it's hard to not address the fact that we've already met this person on a different planet, but yet she's not the same person.
That was needlessly confusing.
Just to put a unicorn thing on her. Yeah.
To have her play both parts. That confused me because I was like, oh, did she go from that planet to Earth? I didn't get that. But to this movie's to this movie's benefit, I didn't give a shit. I didn't examine it at all. It didn't bother me. It didn't bump me. I was like, please don't. I can't, like, in my notes, I have, I don't know what's going on, but I'm loving it.
Yes, exactly.
I don't know what.
Well, like, at the end,
I have no idea what is happening, and yet I'm riveted.
I mean, this, can I just show you, like, I want to, like, this, and this is like a perfect example, a perfect example of, like, what we're talking about. Like, just, like, listen to this dialogue.
You dumped us like yesterday's garbage.
Yeah, well, yesterday's garbage can still kick up a stink.
That's right.
Yeah. Right on.
He doesn't care about us.
Yeah, and the garbage man ain't gonna stop here anymore either.
You're drinking your bathwater.
Yeah? Any garbage man tries to get his slimy hands on me is gonna get his friggin' teeth kicked. Yeah. Yeah. That garbage man's name just happens to be Frankie.
So wait, weirdly, Frankie seems to run the band, right?
Yes.
But he's weirdly not the lead singer. This blonde guy is, I think.
Right. Yes. Frankie, I think, is putting it all together behind the scenes. But Frankie is the one who comes in.
Frankie does sing his own songs.
Yes.
But, like, they are like solo songs.
But Frankie's also the one that, and I'm sorry if I'm mixing up characters, who is shirtless wearing a leather jacket.
Correct.
But the jacket's a little bit too small for him. So you're always seeing a little bit of belly. Like, you're seeing midriff. Like, I've never... just seeing midriff in a leather jacket, like, that, it should just go down to meet the pants. Like, it was uncomfortable for me to see his little belly button sticking out when he's trying to be cool.
I can't express enough to you guys. I'm, like, scrubbing through the movie looking for stuff. And I'm like, it's the same four sets and it's the same characters. They're just singing different nonsense songs. And I'm... even silently, I'm having... and then I just realized the song that is Now I've Found My Little Bit of Heaven is just the alien guy, Absid and Pia Zadora, singing in front of, like, a green screen that's just showing images of space. And then he's like, we can be together as soon as I remove, as soon as you get... an emotionectomy or whatever. What's it called?
Right.
It's like basically that.
Like, yeah. Like, we're going to remove your emotions. And she goes, well, what about sex? And he's like, well, don't worry about it. And she's like, I'm out of here.
No. He says, don't worry about it because we have sex every day. And she's like, what? He's like, every Monday, every Tuesday. Well, I'll play it for you here.
Well, what about love?
There is no love on our planet, nor hatred.
You're kidding.
No, the operation takes it away.
But with all the emotion gone, how can we have, you know, sex?
Ah, that.
Yeah.
Don't worry. On our planet, we have sex almost every night. Almost Monday, almost Tuesday.
Maybe I don't have to have one if we're going just to visit.
It wouldn't be just for a visit.
No.
No.
You mean I'll never see Spielberg again? Heidi, hi. Frankie?
That's correct.
I felt like the aliens were then shown to be devoid of emotion and sexuality. And so that's why she goes running back to Frankie, because he's all about, like, jealousy and emotions, and they have, like, a sexual chemistry, blah, blah, blah. They're making out, and et cetera. But that the aliens didn't have that. They were more like, which kind of the exploding alien guy supports this, maybe kind of robots, or I don't know what's going on.
Well, I think they were robots or robot-like, but
because
I was confused.
Because they also had to invent a stimulator. They had to invent a female stimulator, which was weird.
And then that went horribly wrong.
But But
here's the
thing, though, made everyone want to fuck him.
Yes.
Only men.
I forgot all about that, by the way.
I know, but he was... already having sexual, like, reactions.
Yes,
to her.
He wanted to be in love. He's like, you love me? Like, he was looking for love. He was there looking for rock, but what he found was love. That's the tagline.
Wait a second. But here's the weird thing, though. So this misunderstanding between the two of them, like, she, I thought, also really wanted to be, yes, with him maybe, but more than that, in his band. And she,
yeah, she wants
ends
to be
up
famous.
Going back to Frankie because he's also willing to, you know, headline
he sees
with her.
Her perform. Yes. He sees her perform at the Battle of the Band.
There's that moment where he goes, you can come back to my planet. And she's like, oh, great. And we can do marketing and have press and we'll do shows. He's like, oh, wait, don't you want to come back for me? And she's like, oh, yeah. But she's got her eye on the bigger prize. She's not here for
love.
She's
career-oriented. Yeah.
Which is great. I mean, again, a beautiful sentiment in an 80s movie to show a strong, you know, a woman. This is like pre-Frozen. Then we're getting a, you know, this is exciting.
She's like, she's ready to let Earth go so she can go to some other planet to become a singing sensation.
Well, that, I guess, was my question for her. It's like, well, to go to another planet to become a singing sensation, like, what is that world to you? Like, what does that mean to her exactly?
I don't know.
Nature of the Beast, Frankie's solo song.
Let's talk about this because Nature of the Beast is something that I need to study as
it's a, like this movie should be studied like the Torah. there should be like
I will say,
rabbinic
Jason,
school.
I do kind of want to watch it again. And I don't know if we do a follow-up, but and maybe it's just a shorter version. But
I would watch this again.
Or a longer version.
But it did.
If
feel
we did
like
this episode back to back, Mick. The mini episode big next week, Voyage of the Rock Aliens. We're going back in. Because I do think understanding it and then going back in and going, all right, now I
want to watch the whole opening sequence again.
Immediately. Yeah. I watched the whole opening sequence before we started.
Oh, you did? Wanted to, but I didn't have the time. So did you learn anything new?
No, I didn't. I just wanted to watch, because I wanted to watch the Jermaine Jackson song again, because I couldn't remember. Only later did I start writing down the names of the songs. So I wanted to go back and write that and get that one down. But it starts so strong. Here's what I'll say. It's been an incredibly long time, I feel like, since we watched a movie that I genuinely want to tell people to watch.
And
do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, I want to proselytize for this movie because it's so good in the way in which we think movies are good.
Well,
you know
and
what
this
I mean?
My issue with like a movie like Velocipaster and stuff like that is like it's trying so hard to be like this. And when you see this, you're like, that's my, oh, I love it. Like, you're right. I just want everyone to watch it. I'm listening to the soundtrack because it is like organically, it is insane.
Other than the main alien's haircut, is I did want the sheriff to have her own musical number.
Yes, agree.
She felt like she was heavily ADR'd. They didn't have sound on days when she was working. Like sometimes
I felt
she
like
sped
Ruth
up.
Gordon was near the end here. I felt like she felt a little wobbly to me.
But she did have a moment where she kisses this guy, and you feel like you feel she gets all excited, and they speed her up almost like she's in like an old like Benny Hill episode. Like it is.
What was happening?
This.
Okay, I love the scene where she tells that woman, you know, her husband's dead, but. Why in? Well,
she
I didn't
starts off strong, like we need to fight these aliens. I mean, she's against the aliens.
She wants
from the
to
get-go.
Focus on that, and also has to like deal with all the murders that are happening in town. But the guy who comes in, who's dead, he's holding a piece of fried chicken, and then his hand like moves to grab it under the blanket. So what was going on there?
Oh, I don't remember that.
I don't remember
actually.
This at all.
You don't remember
I remember
that?
I remember the deputy taking
He was alive.
I remember the deputy taking the chicken and eating it, but I don't remember the man's hand moving. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, that man was alive.
I'm going to be honest. I maybe took more notes for this movie than I've ever taken in my entire life.
I'm going through
and
my notes.
None
and
of them make sense.
Well, that's what I'm none looking at right now. I'm like, notes, what does this mean?
My notes aren't jogging memories because this movie was just insane.
I mean, there are things, like I said, like I played that Garbage Man clip. Like they just say Garbage Man like 10 times.
Turn the robot into a fire hydrant. Which we didn't talk about, which is absolutely insane.
The robot fire hydrant is a beautiful idea for, it's also like, that will fit in, but it clearly is a cumbersome at every level. Molly adds in here, she does, that he was wiping grease off of his fingers.
The dead person?
The corpse?
The corpse?
We also, I think, June, you got interrupted when you were talking about when the robot takes the crew out of the refrigerator and reanimates them or whatever. They go through like an action figure set of tubes.
Mm-hmm, like a hamster tubes.
That is so funny to me. And it's just, the movie is so visually satisfying.
And that's what I loved about it, Jason. Like that moment, that's where I was like, I'm all in, because it's such a sort of low budget choice. Yes. That is insane.
But also inventive. Very
inventive. Yes. Very interesting. I'm like, I loved it. Even the woman with the hairspray and all the stuff getting stuck on her and the arm getting stuck on her. Like all of that stuff, I thought really...
They
really were.
I mean, they clearly have no money and they try to make the most of it and they do it in the best ways. Like when that fucking tractor trailer pulls up on the beach, it's like, wait, now they have farm equipment? Like yeah. they just get a tractor.
The steamroller, right?
Yeah, the steamroller. Yeah.
Don't they run over two guys and flatten them too? Doesn't the sheriff run two people over with a steamroller and flatten them?
No, I'm talking about the guys. The band arrive on the beach like in like a big farm truck. Like they're all performing on the farm truck. I'm like, what is this? And they also, the way that they transport themselves, like one comes out of the urinal.
They come out of bathroom stalls. They teleport into bathroom stalls, except one guy's stuck in the urinal. In my notes, I have like, we're catching up at the crazies at the gun store. Crazies set up at the high school dance. And then I wrote, I don't know what to do. Every scene needs full discussion.
I know. But there's choices. Okay, so the other choice I absolutely loved. And this movie, this director is patient. Because there is a sequence where one of the alien, because they're also, I think, coming... Yes, to find rock music, but also go out and do these observations. And so one of those observations about Earth is this one alien going to a mental institution. He's trying to figure out how to get in. The way they shot him standing there at the wall with the chainsaw, cutting out an outline
of himself, right?
It was around him, like a doorway around him.
It's a cartoon
so
level.
Hard. Yes, but it works.
There's a lot of Looney Tunes level stuff in here that is really funny. Like I will say, like the band being like the alien band. Sorry, I should be specific because there's two.
Yes.
The alien band being aliens, they're perfectly cast as like they don't know what's going on. They're just innocents in the world. Right. When they're just wandering around looking and watching, everything they're doing is, I think, very funny and very silly.
Oh, the whole sequence where they get to their diner and are sitting at the table.
Incredible. Yes. Even a scene which could be like not cool, where they won't stop touching and smelling the hair of the mechanic girl.
I laughed.
So I was like, they will not stop smelling her hair.
But what I think is so great about that is the way that she plays it. She's like, oh, like that also like leads into like why she falls in love with this this criminally insane man. Like she's like, oh, finally someone I can actually relate to. He's not like a super creep. He's outwardly more of a creep than them, but internally he's not, and that's what makes their love so real, and that's what I love about it.
Holy shit, it's really fucking funny, man.
I want to like break it down in a way where we can just talk about the male persona. So at this one moment, Piazzadora's boyfriend on Earth,
Frankie is
upset. His girlfriend has run off with Absid, and now what does he do? He goes to his locker, which is four times larger than a normal locker.
Well, it is four lockers wide.
So he opens up this locker, and first, my biggest laugh was just seeing the almost a poster size image of Piazzadora. It's a shrine.
It's a huge poster. It takes up the entire wall of his door wall of his locker, which is four lockers wide. Also, we've seen in this movie his picture on the wall of every female bathroom stall door.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes. And
so they are undeniably the beautiful people of this Heidi High, right? Was that
yes?
What it was?
Heidi High.
The movie's amazing.
And so then this song starts, and this is the song that, like, I was already in love with this movie, but this cemented it for me. This song about the male persona. We'll play a clip here. Take a listen.
Thought my innocent face could hide my dark, elusive eyes. But now I think I know I'm committing an emotional homicide.
This song is masterful. I mean, yes. Truly, like, he is performing with a cougar or jaguar. Then there's women dressed as leopards.
And that cat is really in the shot with him, too. I was like, this is dangerous.
Oh, this whole movie is incredibly dangerous. At one point, I read Nick Kiley sent me some research, and the chainsaw was wired the wrong way. So, really? Like, what you do with a chainsaw in a movie is you flip the chain so it won't cut you. They had forgotten to flip it, and the guy from The Hills Have Eyes was like, actually, I think you gotta flip that. And they're like, oh, good call, thanks. So, like, so I don't know if safety was of the utmost concern, because that jaguar at a certain point also felt like they couldn't control him, because he's just standing on top of, like, a heater or a radiator in an apartment, and they just get, like, a shot of that too. It seems like out of place in the whole rest of the song.
I was like, does the cougar live inside his locker?
Well, clearly at the end, I mean, or is he putting away his emotions?
His song takes the way these, what's great is about, what I like about these is that, like, the songs, not, they don't just exist in the space they are in, right? He can start his song, Nature of the Beast, but then it will, like a music video, it'll cut to, like, him in the forest with the jet, with the cougar.
A desert. You know, or a desert we have not seen, yeah.
This or that. Like, it's like a music video in that sense, because, like, the songs are treated like short films almost. Like, they don't just limit themselves to, like, okay, it's just them standing here singing the song. It's like, well, we can do whatever the fuck we want. And they go for it, and it's hilarious. This song is insane. Is this the only song he sings?
I believe so.
Except for the duet. They sing a duet at the end. He and Pia Zadora. But
I think he's lip syncing that one. Or this one. But maybe he's lip syncing both. I don't know. But there was something about it where I was like, that song just felt pure. That's the one that makes the most sense.
Yeah.
Nature of the Beast.
You know, yeah. Like, but now I think I'm committing emotional homicide. Leaving you alone had to be the worst thing I could do, because look at me now, running around like a fool. Yes, that's the nature of the beast, keeping up the male persona. That's the nature of the beast, keeping up my status quota. That's the nature of the beast, who wants to give love and affection. Oh, the nature of the beast doesn't want to end up alone. Oh, no, don't want to be alone.
Well, here's the interest. This the one of the song. Reasons why I want to watch it again is because I want to, like, drill down on and I can't believe I'm going to say it, but the bigger story. Like, I know it's going to be hard to find, but I do think ultimately these alien men were able to teach the real life men, the real life humans, how to be more human, right? And, like, that's
wow, you're reading into that. Okay.
Yeah, I think they were. I think that was sort of the bigger story, that they were, even though they were completely, and that's kind of an interesting commentary, like, they don't have hearts.
They don't have emotions.
They don't have emotions. And they are actually able to teach them humanity.
Well, let me, can I just piggyback on this and say, by acting like a fool, they show the cool kids that you don't have to be cool. You just have to be pure. Right. And so, like, their performance and the way they interact, whether it was, like, having that sex chip that made people attracted to them, or having the exploding in the diner, like, they are so unaware
authentically of themselves.
Yes. They're not embarrassed. They're not shy.
They're also inclusive. Like, right. They're not Oof, about, like, making rules or this, you know, like, they're like, yes, Pia Zadora, you should sing with us. You should, you know, like, there is, right. They're not, they're yes-anding everything. They just want to, they're happy to be there.
Happy
they're
to not be invited,
to,
yeah.
They're, exactly. They're not trying to, like, impose anything the way that, like, I think Frankie's trying to, like, control everything and everyone.
I'm in charge. Get yeah. out of my way. Like, and I think
I
that,
decide who sings with the band.
I mean.
Which is crazy.
In this small town that seems like it's, there doesn't seem like success in this small town is going to translate into a larger
Well, Spielberg, gig. The town that has like a toxic lake with a tentacle monster. I mean, this is,
yeah,
the town's
I
got
mean,
a lot going on.
This is a story about toxicity, the real sort of wow. environmental
yeah.
toxicity.
Oh, yes.
Toxic masculinity.
I would, to your point, June, I would rewatch it just in like, I would watch it like 20 minutes at a time. Like I would just
oh,
yeah. pop this on.
Oh, that's a really interesting
movie. And be
idea.
Like, oh yeah, I'll watch three songs. Just visually and musically, this movie is insane and so compelling.
I might argue that this movie is better served bite size. Like, you know, yeah. it is. Well,
like
here's what I'll
quibbies?
Say.
God, I wish Quibi was still
on.
This
give
would
me
be
a Quibi.
Perfect Quibi.
This is a perfect movie
Bring
to cut up
back.
Into a Quibi.
This is a Quibi. Now, June, you said before, something about the director. You said, wow, this director had tremendous restraint, tremendous patience, right? You said that?
I did say that.
Would it surprise you that this director's first movie was a Dirty Harry movie? He directed The Enforcer.
That's why there was that Clint Eastwood reference.
Oh, I assumed that was also because Ruth Gordon was in... Was it Every Which Way But Loose with Clint Eastwood?
Well, and by the way, he also directed... That movie as well.
Oh,
this
okay,
guy is a legit, like, he directed The Enforcer.
I'm not surprised.
Every yeah. Which Way But Loose. Then he directed he directed a movie with, which I remember just from a kid. It's a Chuck Norris movie called Forced Vengeance. I always remember because it looks like he's breaking out of the VHS cover box. Like his elbow is like cracking through the front.
I remember that cover, but yeah. I've never seen it.
Yeah.
Oh, funny.
And then... follows that up with Voyage of the Rock Aliens and never makes another movie again. But he was coming off of two giant hits with Clint Eastwood, like a huge Dirty Harry movie and a huge like comedy Dirty Harry. Like
yeah,
this
yeah,
is,
yeah.
It, like he's not like, I mean, a lot of times in these movies we talk about like, oh, well, you know, this is a guy who never directed anything. Oh, he did this. He did that. Like this guy is coming off of a successful run of two big movies. Like
what's fascinating about this movie is that it's got tons of characters, tons of songs, no story, no plot. The only discernible kind of emotional story that you can track is the mechanic girl and the serial killer. And the
oh
chainsaw
God,
serial
it's
killer.
So true.
Like,
that was the
they
clearest,
are the only
cleanest.
People who have
yeah.
a beginning, middle, and an end where they go through a change, where their lives are yeah. changed by each other. You
because
know?
How does it even really end? They just their ship is wrecked at the end, and then that's it. Like they just go home.
What do you mean? Wait,
like,
sorry. What do you mean?
I'm trying to remember. Like, how does it even end now? Like,
How does the movie end?
Yeah, like they just go home. I mean, I know that they defeat the alien, but like their ship is kind of destroyed. But they go home, right? The aliens?
I am assuming so.
Yeah, I mean, their story isn't even very, it's not like, and that's what we learned, and we're out of here. It's like, the fact that
no,
we don't remember.
No, because basically the end of the movie is the Pia Zadora Frankie duet.
Right, and they're not
our
main characters.
Which is all on green screen.
Yeah.
Which has I'm just scrubbing through it right now. It's green screen with like behind them is like the sky or people on are on windsurfing. Like it's nuts. And then then there's like a brief moment with the aliens and then their ship just leaves our solar
That's it.
System.
Before we get into second opinions, I want to talk about the scene when he admits that he's an alien.
I'm an alien.
Well, that's okay. There's lots of English bands. What about Menudo? We'll get you a good immigration lawyer and you'll have your green card and citizenship papers in no time.
No, I mean, I'm from another planet.
Wow. But Do you know, I guess it's not surprising I'd fall for an alien. Lois Lane fell for Superman. There have been lots of mixed couples like that. There's Fay Wray and King Kong.
Like, the fact that she's like, oh, it's mixed couples are fine. She's so open to Fay Wray and King Kong as,
oh,
a,
yes.
as a romantic couple. As a romantic couple. Like, that's her.
They made it work.
They made it work. They didn't make it work. They were not in love. Oh my God.
Well, she had her eye on the prize. She was
success.
Like, she was like, I've only been thinking in this like limited way of this earthly market for music. Like, there might be a whole other.
Here's what I'll say. Audience. I'm gonna offer a different read on this movie, which all is right. Pia Zadora has been traveling from planet to planet trying to be the star.
Whoa.
Trying to be the lead singer, trying to be the star. And on the Mad Max Jermaine Jackson planet, it's like there's too much violence. The gangs can't get along. And so she finally travels to Earth, and Earth still has all of this kind of the men are fighting and the men won't let her sing or whatever. And it takes these aliens to show the men of Earth that they should let Pia Zadora sing, let her sing. And boom, she does, and she's incredible. So I think the movie is about her traveling from planet to planet, trying to find her spotlight or whatever, trying to find her moment. And this is it. I don't know.
I love that. Look, it's happened again. You know, we normally come to this part of the show and we say, you know, clearly we have an opinion, but there are people out there with a different opinion. But honestly, we are sharing the opinions here because we think this movie is genius. It is now time for a second opinion, which is truly just our opinions. Hit the theme.
Second opinion.
All right, these are 5-star reviews culled from Amazon. 97 reviews of this, 63% are 5 stars, which we agree with. And I'm going to say, we agree with these opinions. This one by Kelly R. is, my life is now divided into before Votra, which is Voyager of the Rock Aliens, and after Votra. 21st Century is the dreamiest, catchiest bop. The B-story romance of Alison LaPlaca's character, Diane, moved me to tears. Ruth Gordon is in this movie rarely enough that every time you see her, you go, oh, yeah, Ruth Gordon. I don't know how I went 4 decades without this film in my life, but I stumbled upon it at last, and I am so grateful. 5 stars. And you know what? I feel the same way. This one from Teasley Nielsen Kirby says, I'm only partway finished, and it's difficult to swallow all at once, but I love this movie so much. A masterpiece of sorts. 5 stars.
It is. I agree.
And then,
again, like, I'm scrubbing through and the fashions and the hairstyles are all perfect. Like, you can't, like, when people try and do 80s set movies now, they blow it. This is it.
Well, that's
this
what I'm saying. Like,
this weird combination of, like, new wavy kind of modern poppy colors, big bangs, like the big bangs going up and going down, that whole situation. But then also 50s pompadours and all that bullshit.
It all works.
It's all represented.
Like, what I'll say too is, like, I know I said that thing, it's like a corporate retreat trying to make a TikTok, but there's something also about that is so dynamic as well.
Yes.
Now, June, here's what I'll say. This is one that you may agree with or disagree with, but I'm going to throw it out there. We've talked about it a lot. Donna Lynn Gerhard wrote this. This film ranks alongside Grease 2 as the greatest musical ever. 5 stars. June, what do you think?
I disagree. But I loved this movie. But Grease 2, like thinking about your reading of this movie, Jason, I'm like, yeah, that would have been great, but she should have ended up with a solo career. And I just think, yeah, it doesn't compare to Grease 2, but we don't need to compare them.
Right.
And if I'll be honest, like, I would be thrilled to show anybody this movie. To show somebody Grease 2 would be great, but there is a way in which I almost feel like I'd have to show them Grease, you know, or something, versus I feel like I could drop this on and people would just freak out. Like, also, I think there's something wonderful about, and I don't know, maybe I'm just wrong, but it sounds like it was the same for you two. I've never even heard of this. This is not.
Thank you to our producer, Avril Halley, for finding this. And she talked about this movie, and I've been putting it off a little because, it sounds like a little bit like maybe it would. I was nervous that it would fall into that category of like, okay. But I always trust Avril, and my gosh, I'm so happy that we got to it when we did. I almost feel like it's a great palate cleanser to start our new year off with, even after Shadow in the Clouds. Because that movie also is bizarre and weird. But
I'm sorry, you guys. Jumping off of the Zoom.
Okay, bye.
And unfortunately, that was June. She has to go. She's talking to our pediatrician. This is a movie I want to see in a theater with a bunch of people.
Yes.
It makes me excited. Like, what we should do.
This is I would want this to be like a How Did This Get Made screening at the Alamo Drafthouse type of thing.
When we get a little bit past where we are in COVID, I'm going to talk to Alamo. And we are going to host this at Alamo Drafthouse.
An audience would fucking lose their minds over this. It's so funny.
But it needs to be seen.
Fun. Yes.
This is the movie. This is the movie. I mean, this is it. And it's like, and the fact that it's only on YouTube for free is.
Oh, no. I rented it on Amazon. I watched it on Amazon.
Oh,
it's
wow.
On Amazon.
Oh, okay, great.
I don't even think I had to rent it.
Okay, I was going to say, I watched it on YouTube. I was like, it was great.
Oh, no,
that was
I watched it on Amazon, yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
I see. That's why, because mine only says Voyage of the Rock Aliens.
Okay, so when I saw it, it was, the title said Voyage of the Rock Aliens, and then with the colon, Let's Dance Tonight.
There's so much. I'm just, again, scrubbing through. There are so many scenes we haven't talked about, and I don't even know what happens in them.
We should just do another episode. Let's do another episode. Just rewatch it and do another episode. This almost should be our New Year's resolution. Every year we watch this movie and just come back to it. Like, what have we learned? We've talked about doing that for our first episode. We should do that for this. This has been, I'm changed. We all are. Jason...
I 100% recommend it.
A lot of press on this new role that you got. I've known about this for a while, and I've forgotten to talk to you about it and to see people's reaction to this new role. I want to maybe tell everybody what you have going on.
I believe you are talking about the fact that it has been announced that I will be playing the voice of Tommy Lee's penis in the Pam and Tommy Lee Hulu series.
Yes.
That that Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg and Craig Gillespie and a bunch of great people are making.
And I didn't realize that penis conversation that you are voicing was in a book.
It's a real moment from Tommy Lee's memoir where he talks about how after he met Pam, he had to have like a talk to his penis. He had to talk to his penis because he like, and in the book, it's like a conversation with his dick about like, I think I'm in love. And his dick is basically like being like, whoa, 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 man, are you sure? You know, it's nuts. It's pretty nuts. I will say.
I am so excited to see this, and it's a great cast. And man, I love these stories that are also completely reinventing what I thought was something I knew about, but then seeing it in a completely new way. I'm in this brand new series that I really think is great. Ed Helms, our friend Ed Helms, and Randall Park, who you know from our face-off episode, they have created a show called True Story where they interview real people about things that have happened in their life, and then they dramatize those stories. And Adam Pally and I are in one about a guy who snuck into the locker room of the Steelers after they won the Super Bowl and got on the bus to he didn't even have tickets to the Super Bowl. Pally plays that guy. I play the equipment manager.
That's great.
They're great stories. It's funny. It's sweet. And Ed and Randall interview, and they got a great cast. It's kind of like, if you like Drunk History, I think has some similarities without being exactly that, because these are the people telling their stories. They're narrating their own stories.
It's a first person storytelling, not like telling some other story.
Yes, and it's directed by the great Jordan Rubin, who is also a friend of the show and super fun. And now if June was here, I'm sure she would tell you to check out the Jane Club. You know, there's a bunch of great stuff going on there. You could also be listening to The Deep Dive with her and Jessica St. Clair. Get it wherever podcasts are heard. It's a great show, and I love listening to the two of them, even though I'm not allowed to. So every now and then, people tell me, and then it sounds great, but I'm forbidden to listen to it. And now let me just give a big thanks to our producer, Cody Fisher, our producer, Molly Reynolds, our engineer, Devin Bryant, our other movie finding producer, Avril Halley. Thank you for bringing this movie into our lives. You forever changed us once again. I don't know how you manage to do it, but you do it all the time. Make sure you check out Movie Bitches on YouTube. Nate Kiley, finding research on this movie, hard to do, and he did it. And of course, July Diaz, making sure that this episode always sounds smooth and cool. The art is provided by the great people that we have met on Instagram and Facebook. That is Zach McAleese at the Ghost of Craig T. Nelson on Instagram. And of course, Kyle Waldron, who has made all of our Facebook and now our Instagram posts with all the quotes from the show. If you want to get a shirt for this episode, and the shirt is simply a beautiful silhouette of Pia Zadora with that tentacle sneaking up behind her. Will it get her? Of course not. But now you can have it in any way you want it. Just go to tpublic.com, type in how did this get made, and you will see it probably is on sale. You can get it as a sticker. You can get it as a hoodie. You can get it as a beer koozie. Whatever you want. And we want to hear what you have to say. So please give us a call at 619-PAUL-ASK. That's 619-PAUL-ASK. That's Paul Ask. And what you'll be doing is telling us what you thought about the movie. But if you just want to sit back, relax, and chat with me about your life, I have a question for Cody or Molly or Devin. They'll also chime in. We'll help you out in every mini episode. And we will see you next week for a mini episode. And I mean, I'm just already upset because I don't know how we're going to top this for our next movie, but I'm sure Avril will find a way. Also, if you're still listening, that means you're a super fan. And that also means that you might have bought a ticket for our show in Canada, which is now being postponed. That's right. Our show in JFL is being postponed because of the COVID restrictions. So more on that rescheduling. Visit hdtgm.com. You will see when we reannounce that. How did this get made?